now to get her on, though. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast with the Freedom Files with Mr. Ken O'Keefe.
Do that, too. I just would argue that we should stop our insane military spending. We have the ability to defend ourselves. We haven't been defending ourselves for many decades now. We are purely an offensive force in this world. And any attack that comes our way at this point is really totally justified by our aggressions all around the world. Really. I mean, what would justify an attack on the United States, for Christ's sake? Killing millions of people in illegal, immoral wars in which you commit crimes against humanity and war crimes and commit torture? You know, maybe that would be a justification for attacking a nation. We've done that. We need to stop, obviously, forthwith.
Yeah.
And for the American patriots who've got a real, you know, head on their shoulders, don't you want to see your nation taken care of? I agree with you. Let's stop sticking our noses in other people's business. It's not our business.
Amen.
How the
Amen.
Europeans are living. Or the Iranians.
War
it's
is a racket.
War is a racket. Smedley Butler, true,
yes,
genuine
sir.
American patriot. An insider who knew it like the back of his hand and wrote it in a book. You know, I have a lot of love for the military in the sense that, going back to my experience with the lefties, I've been in the activist scene now for 25-plus years. I would have been out of this scene a long time ago if I had my choice. I do this because I'm on a mission. You know, I know what my purpose is. I have a mission. I want a better world. I want a better world for my children and everybody else's children. So I'm doing what I need to do. But my experience in the lefty scene is with a bunch of so-called activists who are amongst the most lazy, up their own ass, full of shit hypocrites who bitch and whine and moan as soon as they experience any discomfort. And it's shameful. I they're not all like that, but so many of these lefties are like that.
It's despicable.
Folks, I just wanted to let you know, this is Tom Lacovara Stewart, Resurrect the Republic. We had a caller on the line. I completely forgot. I apologize. Mike, call back in if you want to. And I am opening the call lines up if you want to call and comment or ask any questions or give any insight into some of the content that we're discussing. 1-800-313-9443. The call lines are open. Apologize about that, Mike. We will get back to you as soon as you call back in. My apologies. But anyway, until then, Mr. Ken O'Keefe from the Freedom Files.
I disagree with you there.
No, I've experienced it, and I've been in dangerous places, initiating my own actions and others that I participated in. I was on the ship Gaza in 2010 that the Israelis attacked and murdered 10 people. That was totally different because the Turkish people, not the government, but the Turkish people, were running that. And it was incredible. It was beautiful. It was disciplined. It was people of all different faiths, including Jews, Christians, and Muslims, atheists, and others from all these different countries around the world working together. That was the exception, but it was run not by lefty, liberal, Western people. It was run by Turkish people. So the rest of my experience with the lefty Westerners is as I've characterized it, a bunch of fucking pathetically weak, undisciplined, looking out for their comfort levels, not willing to endure any level of discomfort, and certainly not seriously willing to risk their lives or their livelihood. Most of them are a bunch of lazy, hypocritical wankers, if you ask me.
Social justice warriors.
Yeah, these social justice warrior wankers.
Yeah.
And when I look at the military, what I see is I see stupidity, tremendous stupidity, so I'm not gonna kiss the ass of all the military here. A lot of you are not thinking. You're being used like dumb animals, make no mistake about it. But regardless of the ignorance within many in the military, there are some things that I absolutely love, such as discipline, such as the ability to put the mission above the self, such as never leaving anyone behind, such as leadership by example, putting others and the mission above yourself in particular, and
honor.
Being willing to endure great discomfort if necessary, great discomfort, and risk your life.
All right. Well, we're going to take a caller. Resurrect the Republic. Mike, you're on the line.
Hey, almost immediately when I got put on hold there, I had to do something else, so I got pulled away.
That's all right.
A wonderful coincidence there. But, yeah, I was just, you know, I've searched around trying to figure out how to describe this, and when I called in, he was talking about and you were mentioning, you know, corporofascism, da-da-da. What mm-hmm. do we call this? You know, it's not...
The third way.
Not
free, communitarianism.
Not free, well, there you go. Communitarianism. That's what I was going to say. I mean, that apparently is the model or the, I don't know, umbrella that they've put the European Union community under. Communitarianism.
Yes.
And they're kind
very
of
very close to Fabian socialist ideology. Yeah.
And what would you call it? Harmonizing. I think that's the goal, is to harmonize the laws across all the continents, you know, from Australia to America. And they've already done a lot of that with, I guess, the Uniform Commercial Code and that sort of stuff. But I don't know.
I agree.
International law merchant or whatever you want to say we're under. There's a lot of this stuff I don't think fits the definition of contract, though, because you're supposed to have a meeting of the minds to have a contract.
You're supposed to,
yeah,
unless you're a subject under some sort of Roman civil law.
Well, you still don't have a contract.
Then you have status.
I mean, you know, you don't really have a contract. So, and once people realize that, it's like a paradigm shift in their thinking, because they're like, I'm not under any obligation to put myself out, you know, to this system that is not even honoring any of its contracts, because it's not really a contract. It's like a lot of these check boxes. You have to check this little box and agree to use Flash on your computer, and you say I have read and understand the terms of service and privacy policy, blah blah blah. Well, everybody's lying, and they're checking those little boxes, and they're saying that they've spent 3.5 months out of their life and, you know, and have a law degree to understand these contracts. Well, the same mm-hmm. thing's been going on with government. So, I mean, it's no big surprise they're doing this to us with, you know, the phones and all these devices, is they think that you're supposedly have a contract. Well, I learned many years ago that you can qualify your signature. And I think Al Whitney talks about this a little bit. She's got this, you know, method that they're talking about. Unfortunately, I think a lot of the officials, you would say, have their little sniffer ready to start labeling you a sovereign citizen if you do anything to protect yourself, like using a uniform.
Well, it's the same people created that term that created the term conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a built-in psyop, and they're not using it so much on us as they are on the people in a position to get to trip us up, like the police and judges and stuff that all get trained to be on the lookout for sovereign citizens. They do stuff like file their own motions, or
I was having this conversation with the police officer just the other day, and he made mention of all this, and I said, all right, let me ask you a question. I said, do you think that the FBI is under control? And he's like, no. I said, do you think the ATF is under control? No. I said, what do you think about the IRS? And he said, well, they're insane. I said, okay. So let me ask you a question. If you were a doctor and you see somebody who's sick, do you not try and diagnose the problem to correct it? He said, well, yeah. And I said, well, what do you think these people that are trying to stand up for themselves and try and find freedom are doing? They're the doctor, and the corpus, the body, is the government, and they see this sickness. And at some point, when you guys, wearing those badges, don't get together and walk in and arrest these criminals and these traitors, well, guess what? You nullify your authority in these people's minds. So you can call them whatever you want. You can go by your master's programming that say that these are all domestic terrorists and they're dangerous. They're only dangerous because they've had enough of this corruption and tyranny that they've checked out, and by their own consent. I mean, doesn't it say the consent of the governed? It's rather simple to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little off my rocker.
The black robed crowd, religion, priests, whatever you want to call them, the you know, referees in the venues, mm-hmm. they like to console themselves that there's always a remedy. There's always a remedy before the bar. There's always a remedy.
Yeah.
There's not. There's not. And when there is not a remedy, that's where you end up with terrorism or people taking matters into their own hands or starting to lynch people. There's an old guy that I ran into that had took the Montana Freeman trainings and actually paid a tax lien in Ohio with one of their certified banker's checks. And a year later, he went back into the courthouse and the clerk said, "You committed fraud on this office." And he said, "Well, my fraud's just as good as your fraud," because he got the... He used some huge check too. I mean, he only had a tax lien of, you know, $2,300 or something, and he paid it with a check that was for $15,000. And he said, "That's all right. You guys can, you know, issue me a reimbursement check or something." And I don't know how exactly he did that, but he got them to take the check to pay off the tax lien. And when he went back in there, They just raked him over the coals, and he put them on their heels by saying, "Well, my fraud is as good as your fraud. You know, y'all's, you know, money system is all screwed up." But and now I can't remember why I was going to tell you that whole story. But he'd gotten pulled over in a nearby county for driving too slow about 4 o'clock in the morning on an expressway with nobody around, and the cop shines a thing in there and sees some of his medication because he's an older guy, and he just, you know, was polite or whatever, but they ended up arresting him for DUI, even though it was prescription medicine, and he was just, you know, he's driving like 35 and a 45, you know, and there was nobody around. Well, because of the backlog of labs in this state, you know, they kept going and doing a continuance because his blood work never came back. And I told him, I said, "Man, you know you have a right to a speedy trial. If all you have to do is demand a speedy trial. If they won't give you one, they'll dismiss it because they have a year, something like a year limitation, or they have to throw the case out." And he just kept going back and going back. And I thought he was smarter than that because he took the Montana Freeman training. But, the court systems, I think, are just, they've put a be on the lookout order for anybody that tries to whatever represent themselves or do this kind of stuff that Al Whitney is talking about. I mean, it may very well work. I'm waiting to hear success stories on her condition.
Yeah, I'd like precedent, to hear some too.
Condition precedent, where you basically, you know, try to put everybody on notice. And I've heard other, you know, paralegal types are doing these type of things to try to put them all on notice that none of these contracts that they're trying to overlay on top of us have any validity because there was never a meeting of the minds.
I've seen a lot of that actually. I've seen a lot of that actually work. It's just not something that we can talk about yet.
Yeah.
But another thing is you know, it requires a certain amount of responsibility to be able to share that kind of information with people. Because there have been a lot of people who have tried to misuse some of the more successful tactics. So it becomes a very dangerous thing when you have, like we used to do these groups, you know, and I mean, not we, but, you know, we as a Patriot community, there was many different groups that went by many different names. But as you have these groups, you have people that come into them and they misuse for purposes for their own financial gain. This is not what these remedies are intended for. So really it starts with the moral compass of the people. If you don't have a good and righteous moral compass and you try and apply some of these remedies, then bad things can happen for everybody. So
I believe that's part of the attitude for the people in authority too, is that most people are just, you know, trash. You know, they're trailer park trash or whatever, and they need to be administered, you know, and kept in check and whatever. So
The system exists for people like that.
Well, there's plenty of them too. There really is, and the schools don't want to teach law. It's probably a good thing because there'd be a lot of students would just start filing their own lawsuits probably.
Yeah, probably so.
They don't have any interest in teaching, you know, that sort of stuff in the schools, but it's not healthy for the Republic, or, you know, for to have an uninformed population that wants to be babysat, you know, and have everything for their convenience.
Well, you know, it's the fight's not over.
I hope so.
I'm gonna keep fighting, and we're gonna try and keep educating. We're trying to keep awakening some people. You know, the one nice thing about having Ken O'Keefe on is because he has a different type of following and audience, and I like to, you know,
Struggling about whatever half an hour ago, but you know, trying to define, and I thought, well, you know, somebody needs to throw in the word communitarianism in the European Union's laws, because that seems to be what they're doing, you know, and they want to unify that across the board.
And look at this thing that happened over there with this baby, right? Baby Alfie. We published an article on Resurrect the Republic. I did a video article and a regular article. And, you know, this is a good example of what Obama was pushing for. It's Fabian socialism or communitarianism, that where the state believes that it has the right. You know, these parents of this child over there that had a pretty bad condition were granted Italian citizenship, and there was a Vatican hospital, of all things, but there was a hospital in Italy that was willing to take the child and try and treat the child. It would have not cost the British government anything but maybe some face, because, you know, if they were successful, of course, it would make some people look bad there, but... the courts ruled that the hospital was to keep this child, and the child ended up dying without any kind of. They pulled it off of the feeding tubes, and it was this big thing. And this is the example of, you know, people like to hold up George Bernard Shaw in universities like he's some great guy, right? This is the guy that said that, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Citizen. Every 7 years or so, you need to come into a bureaucratic board and justify your existence. And if you're not producing something beneficial for society, then we have no obligation to keep you alive.
Well, you've heard the expression, when somebody graduates from a school, they'll say, well, you're a product of, you know.
You're a product, all right.
A product of such and such high school. You're a product of Lexington, Kentucky. And I think I've heard that expression for years. I think the governments believe, because of they've done this so long, you know, they've commercialized our existence from the word go with the birth certificate, that they own the people as a tax a leverage for tax base. You know, the financialization of our output as a. As basically something they can borrow against, they can say when it's time to retire a human resource. You know, I can say they have the power to determine that. But in West Virginia, it's probably been 20 some years ago, back when they started with this organ donor network and things. That, and I don't think they're the only state that does this, unless somebody raised enough ruckus to get it changed. There's people that woke up in West Virginia. I guess they were thought they were to be dead, but their corneas were already removed, and they had not signed an organ donor permission, you know, card. But the cornea, I guess, is considered something that you not necessarily need, but it has to be harvested, or whatever the term they're using. It has to be recovered quickly. Right, immediately upon a declaration of death, so people have apparently on occasion woke up, thought to be dead, without their corneas. So your body, once they can claim, you know, just like in the law of the sea or something, once a ship is considered abandoned, they claim.
That brings me back to the Alfie case, too, because that same hospital was selling baby parts.
Exactly.
I tell you, it's crazy.
Anyway, we have to go to break.
Yeah, take it easy, and thank you for the call. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, and RBN. We'll be back with the Freedom Files with Ken O'Keefe.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN with the Ken O'Keefe Freedom Files. Call in 1-800-313-9443.
And never bitch or moan about it. Do what you gotta do. And when we were fighting the just fight, that is the most beautiful attribute, one that I admire and respect, and I miss a lot. So while I've been associated with the left, and I do know many good people in the so-called left or whatever. You know, I do. There's a lot of good people in there. I'm not intending to rubbish everybody who has a liberal or left perspective. Not at all. But
me
I've
neither.
Seen what I've seen. I've experienced what I've experienced, and I know what I know. And yep. The left is full of these social justice warrior wankers, and they make me sick, and I don't want to be associated with it. And well, my military brothers and sisters.
It's neoliberalism. It's not like I've had friends that consider themselves liberals, but they even have to redefine themselves now and call themselves, well, I'm more of a classic liberal. They're separating themselves. They don't want to identify with this garbage either.
Yeah, who can blame them? Yeah, I know exactly the kind of people you're talking about. There's many astute and intelligent people on the left who identify on the left or classical left, and they're sickened by it. It's disgraceful, and it makes it hard to call yourself an activist too. I never really liked that label. I don't like any label, but I have been considered an activist by many. And when you put me side by side with Antifa and all of these ridiculous manifestations and all these agent provocateurs who feel better about throwing a brick through a window than they do about doing something that really is going to matter. And that's not to say, by the way, I'm opposed to property destruction. I'm not.
So it depends on whose property. Now, if it were the Federal Reserve, I might tend to agree with you.
my activism goes back several decades, and my first causes were causes related to the environment, and ultimately, I am aware of instances in which property was destroyed that was being used to destroy the natural environment in irreversible ways, and I support such efforts. It is not a crime to destroy property. That is not a crime.
This is true, but let me clarify. Let me clarify for my audience.
Let me just qualify that first, though, so maybe you won't need to. It is not a crime to destroy property that is being used to break law and destroy life. So, for instance, if I destroy a jet, or if I do damage to a military jet that is going to be used to commit war crimes, that is not a crime, and there is legal precedence for such arguments that have been
right.
won. And I agree with it. There's some famous cases about that. So when you destroy property in order to save life, that's not a crime. I don't care what bullshit laws say. When you save life by destroying property, that is not a crime. So anyway, the bottom line is throwing a brick through a McDonald's window may feel good for the perpetrator, but it's not really going to solve the problem. Whereas, destroying a jet, or in the case of the Raytheon 5, I believe, in Ireland, there's a really great case, Raytheon 7, they went into a Raytheon plant and destroyed all sorts of infrastructure and all sorts of stuff that prevented Raytheon from the smooth functioning of producing weapons, which are being used to destroy people's lives around the world. And they were acquitted of their charges because they used their example of destroying property, which was being used, provably so, technology was being used in that plant to illegally bomb and destroy people's lives to commit war crimes. And so, anyway, in cases like
that's,
that...
Yeah, that's a lot different than the situation we've been dealing with out here in the Western states with the Center for Biological Insanity, or Diversity, rather, that are trying to move the ranchers off their land and move Americans off their land. They're destroying water tanks. I want to make it very clear for my audience here... Completely day and night, complete difference of what we're talking about here.
100%. Of course, that is merely an example of the tyranny of our government, which is the very reason why we have our guns and the reason why that amendment was put into place in the U.S. Constitution. So, when the U.S. government or any other such actor comes in to destroy your private property based on an agenda to get you off your land, this is something that, of course, you need to stand up and defend yourself and fight against in every way. That is not the kind of property destruction that I would ever endorse or support. I reject it and condemn it on every level.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I knew that, though. I follow you. I just want my listeners to be, clear, because this whole, we talk about right, left. I look at this as two wings of the same bird. The whole reason that I identify myself with, paleoconservatism, libertarianism-ish, because it gives people an understanding that I'm not part of a Republican Party, I'm not part of a Democrat Party, I'm not part of a party. I'm part of critically thinking free thought.
Exactly. And while I totally understand the need for us to unite and to unite with people who we have like-minded opinions, attitudes, and convictions with. We need to see through the divide and rule paradigm. And at every turn, we find ourselves being divided. And on that note, I really want to bring up another point, which will probably be a hot point for a lot of your listeners because of the amount of propaganda.
We'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast with the Freedom Files with Ken O'Keefe.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Republic Truth Radio Broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network with the Freedom Files with Ken O'Keefe and myself. Just a really awesome conversation I really looked forward to and glad that I can finally share with you guys. So, the Freedom Files with Ken O'Keefe.
That has been levied against the Muslim population in the world. So, let me make clear, I am not a Muslim, all right? You know, although I've been called in a complimentary way a Muslim by some of my most respected Muslim brothers and sisters, I am not a Muslim. I do not subscribe to any of the monotheistic religious mandates, although I have a lot of love and real connection with genuine Christianity. If there were one of the major religions that I do gravitate towards on a real level, it is Christianity, and we look to Jesus Christ as an example of,
sure,
you know, of so many things that we should be identifying with today, especially his stance with the money changers in the temple. This is one of his biggest lessons. Very, very famously, you know, this is the one time that Jesus got physical and undeniably angry with what was taking place, and rightfully so, because the money changers are in the temple doing exactly today what they were doing back in Jesus Christ's time. They're doing exactly that, and a genuine Christian should know that. But instead, we've got these fake Christians, which brings me back to Islam and the way that it's been portrayed and the enemy that is seen in Islam as a whole for many people. I completely, completely get why people have fallen into this trap, but I have an obligation as a non-Muslim who has lived in Muslim lands and has spoken with countless Muslims in Iran, in Palestine, and other countries and around the world. I can say with 100% assurity, the vast majority of the 1.8 billion or so Muslims are in this world have no intention whatsoever of being part of or in any way supporting an agenda which would force Sharia law on anyone in the West. No sensible Muslim is thinking that way. In fact, every sensible Muslim realizes, and in fact, there is more of an obligation within Islam to respect Christianity than there is of Christianity or Judaism to respect Islam. Muslims are obligated to respect all of the major the monotheistic religions. Absolutely.
And well, I think they're viewed as very differently from because of the Schofieldism. They're referred to as the wild ones in the Bible, and they have a set of laws for them that were appropriate to their belief system. I think that one of the critical things here that I mentioned to my audience, I want them to hear this, is that, you know, according to the Quran, there's supposed to be no mischief made in the land. And when you go into someone else's land and you create mischief, and I don't know what else would be mischief than to invade, you kind of give a pretext to require a necessity for retaliation. So it's almost like the Bush administration, the Obama administration, they set a precedence that almost gives people the sense by their own faith that they have to defend and attack. It's like, again, the Hegelian dialectics of the one acting as if they're operating for us and poking the rattlesnake with the stick, only we're the ones getting bit.
Well, yes, indeed. And of course, if you think for yourself and are able to observe intelligently, then you will see these things very transparently, very easily. Here's the thing with Islam, and I'm going to repeat, you know, I'm not speaking from the perspective of a pseudo Muslim, or, you know, I'm not trying, if the situation were reversed and Jews were in the position of the Muslims, I would be standing with the Jewish people who are being falsely persecuted in opposition to Muslims, if indeed they were doing that to them. But the situation is such that who controls the media? Well, that would be predominantly Jewish supremacist Zionist interests. Who controls Hollywood? Again, the same category. Who controls finance? Again, the same category. With the control of the finance, who controls our governments? Again, the same. And all of these powerful interests combined have targeted 1.8 billion people on the planet who identify as Muslims. I bet you none of your audience, and if anybody can say, I knew that, actually, then wow, they're doing their research correctly. How many people are aware of the fact that there was a march of Muslims last year in Iraq and Iran, in which I believe the total number was 22 million Muslims marched against ISIS to stand up and say, this does not represent us at all. 22 million. Can you
doesn't surprise me one bit.
Can you imagine any kind of event that would bring together that many people in the West? Now, 22 million Muslims voiced their opposition and disgust with ISIS, and nobody heard about it in the West other than those of us who have access to the information that makes this clear. And why is that? Because it's divide and rule. What they want is a clash of civilizations in which the Western world sees itself as being targeted by the Muslim world. And as long as we're being sucked into this, the powers that be are going to get away with their ongoing plans to bring us to a third world war. Now, having said that, are there Muslims, or I would say fake Muslims out there who are dangerous, who have a twisted, sick, perverse opinion of what Islam is, and are willing to cut off people's heads and all sorts? Yes, there are people like that. And they're financed by our best friends and allies in Saudi Arabia, who Donald Trump just sent $300 billion worth of weapons to. That's a fact. You know, this is not my opinion. Those that we are seeing as our real enemy, our worst enemy, are financed by our biggest allies in the region, including Israel. And I ask another question of your audience to help make this point clear. If these are a bunch of Muslim psychopaths who hate the infidels, why have they not once attacked Israel? Not once.
Good point.
Al-Qaeda and ISIS have not once, and not only have they never attacked Israel, ISIS fighters or al-Nusra Front fighters, al-Qaeda fighters in the Golan Heights, this is not my opinion, it's admitted by even Netanyahu himself and others in the Israeli power structure. They have given hospital attention and medical help to al-Qaeda fighters in Syria. Of course, their argument is that they are applying humanitarian principles, and that's the whole motivation for what they're doing, you know, to help some people in need because they need that. Are you kidding me? They work for Israel. That's why they're getting that. ISIS stands for Israeli Secret Intelligence Services. Yes, yep. It does. And that's yep. why they never attack Israel. They work for Israel, for Christ's sake. And what is the motto of Israeli intelligence, Mossad? I don't care what, you know, they try and muddy the waters with this. By way of deception, thou shalt do war. And indeed, yes. that's what Mossad does. And we can get also into, of course, 9/11, and maybe we will get into it. But let me just finish off with one point. Right. And that is, there is a problem within the Muslim population that exists in the very same form and fashion within the Christian population. There are a lot of fake Christians out there. Yep. My main question to a so-called Christian is, what country would Jesus bomb? I want to know. And I want you to make an argument as to what country Jesus would say, well, you know, normally, as the apostle of peace, normally I would say we should not drop bombs on a civilian target. But in this particular case, I would support bombing. And then I want the Christians out there in the audience to go ahead and play the role of Jesus Christ and give me a reason why Jesus would say, yeah, that bombing is justified. You're a fake Christian. The only circumstance in which a Christian will kill is when they need to defend themselves.
Defense,
which is self-preservation, natural right. Everyone has the right to defend themselves, to kill if necessary, to preserve their life. There's nothing wrong with that. And every Christian who applies that principle can be consistent with genuine Christian values. But Christians who buy in to the propaganda and bullshit that justifies bombing innocent people, and also using depleted uranium, by the way, which is a crime against humanity.
Poisoning the earth, yeah.
If you want to make the argument on behalf of Jesus Christ to justify these bombings, go for it. But as far as I'm concerned, you're a fake Christian. Just like these fake Muslims running around pretending as if they have anything to do with Islam. They have nothing to do with it. They're monsters created by us and Israel, and they're out there running around in order to perpetuate and maintain an agenda which is basically destroying the entire Middle East and threatening a third world war. Fake
funded,
Muslims, fake Christians.
Funded, armed, and balkanized, and, you know, I can never get the cackle out of my head of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
You know, he came, we saw, he died. Oh, my God. Just that.
Yeah.
You know, for those of you out there that are more of a conservative flavor that are going to be listening to this, you know, you have Hillary Clinton marching right to the drum beat of this insanity as well. And I don't believe how people in, you know, the more conservative community can't see this Hegelian dialectic. What did Obama do? He armed these critters. I mean, it was, and back to the point of, when have they ever attacked Israel? That is the most telling thing that you mentioned that I think is most relevant. Look at who they don't attack. That's who they are.
Never. And what just happened? Something just happened. I'm sorry. Yeah, just happened in the last week. ISIS has just declared war on Hamas. ISIS is just now, you know, given the... But they, ISIS is us. So, I mean, I hate saying that, like, oh, ISIS, like it's some independent organ... That's us, for Christ's sake.
Yeah,
that's
but Israel. Say it like that, because it's so retarded that people have to go, huh?
Yeah. So ISIS is now fighting against Hamas. Okay. But they are they going to attack Israel? No, no, no. And there's even been, I mean, it's so in your face. I do think, by the way, they'll have to instigate a false flag hoax in Israel. I don't imagine they'll be willing to sacrifice the pure Jewish blood of Israel and in a genuine false flag. So more likely they'll do some sort of hoax.
Yeah,
but if they do,
false flag.
they're going to need to authorize some sort of attack in Israel at some point, because this point is so strong. And so undeniable. I mean, the idea that ISIS and Al-Qaeda is independent of Israel and is this genuine fanatical Islamic extremist movement that hates the infidels and yet has never once attacked Israel. I mean, come on. Come on. You're not thinking straight. Come on. Be real. So understand that this little Frankenstein monster that we created, Al-Qaeda before ISIS, you know, the same damn thing. This is Israel's tool to suck us into the Middle East to sacrifice American sons and daughters for wars for Israel, for a bunch of Jewish supremacists. That's what it's for.
Wasn't it Rita Katz who received one of the so-called ISIS videos that, and she released it first? And when they asked her, well, how did you get it? Oh, well, we monitor the terrorist website,
yeah,
and we managed to get a hold of it before they could release it themselves.
Yeah. It's like a bad movie. Seriously, it's like a bad movie, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to jump out any second and save the day. It's like, I don't know, man. It's an alternate reality that some people are buying into because they're cast under a spell, and they're not thinking straight. And I'm not looking down on such people because I'm one of those people. You know,
I was one time.
Yeah. I'm just grateful, you know, I'm really grateful that I thought I was a thinking person, man, and it was a trauma for me, you know, to find out that in my experience was, you know, abuse of power in the military and the Marine Corps that I spoke out against. And, you know, I did what I considered to be the right and honorable thing. I totally believe in the Marine Corps principles of honor and integrity, leadership by example, and when I saw abuse of power, I stood up honorably, said what I had to say, rather than doing it clandestinely. I did it very honorably, openly, and I went from being a most respected Marine in a high position of power for my time in service as an assistant team leader and a fire team, an infantry fire team, and ultimately, it shattered my worldview. I believed in the Marine Corps. I totally believed in honor and integrity. I totally believed in leadership by example, Smedley Butler type of leadership.
Yes.
And when I spoke out and did the right and honorable thing, I was punished severely. A weaker man would have been deeply challenged to even survive it. I mean, having your boss, a staff NCO of 17 years in the Marine Corps, and all the other staff NCOs in your company and battalion, knowing full well who you are and what you did, which directly called them out on their abuse of power, to be hated like that in the Marine Corps infantry is not a pleasant thing at all, at all. And I had every reason to be concerned for my safety, and I had to basically just bide my time until I managed to get out of the Marine Corps after 3 years, and that is to this day the happiest day of my life, and I vowed I would never give up my freedom again, ever, to anyone. And I knew at that point that, okay, there's a lot of honorable people in the Marine Corps and in the military, and I love and respect to you all, but there's monsters in the military, traitors in the military, and they hold the highest positions. And the way that their corruption filters down hit some of us, and it hit me hard. And when it hit me, it traumatized me out of my indoctrination. My mind was now open. Okay, I was wrong about the Marine Corps. What else am I wrong about? And that's when I was able to start looking at real history and see what my nation, my birth nation, has been involved in. And I'm still angry, of course, you know. I mean, I've manifested that anger in mostly constructive ways, and that's a great challenge, because you should be angry when you realize what's happening to your bird nation. You should be damn angry. But be sensible and wise enough to channel that anger in effective ways. Don't be stupid. Don't just vent yourself and, you know, what? That's a child. That's not a man. Be a man and vent your anger in a constructive way. And that's what I decided to do. And the more I learned, the more I realized, wow. Oh, my God. Wow. It's not like everything about America is a lie, you know, but a lot of it is. A lot of it is. And I understand why so many Americans find it impossible to face this, because your whole worldview will be shattered once you really open your mind. And there are still some great things about America, however, and these
sure
things
are.
We should hold on to, like the U.S. Constitution, for instance. And we should definitely be willing to die before we would allow that Constitution to be defiled any further. And until we have a government which holds up its hands and professes an oath of allegiance to the U.S. Constitution and adheres and honors that oath, we are not patriots. We have not achieved the ultimate goal and responsibility to our children. We have a bunch of traitors in the U.S. government who swore to uphold the U.S. Constitution and who have defiled it time and time again. The Patriot Act 1 and 2, NDAA successively. Treason.
Yep.
Out and out treason.
Yep.
So until these traitors are arrested and held to task and see their justice, until these traitors are vacated from the halls of government and replaced with genuine American patriots who take an oath to uphold the Constitution and honor that oath, until such day, we are an occupied nation with an enemy inside the gate who controls our clan of traitors within the U.S. government. Nothing more, nothing less. And a lot of American patriots are realizing this. So,
yeah, they're seeing
you know,
it. Look at the Bureau of Land Management, Division of Fish and Wildlife, the FBI, the ATF. I mean, you saw what happened in Waco and Ruby Ridge. I don't care if you believe or disbelieve in the ideologies of the people involved. A martial, militarized force brought upon the American public, and snipers and militarized force. And I just ask Americans, if you see them, and now they're waking up to all this, it took them some decades, but they're waking up to it. And I said, well, look at all of this. How does it make you feel? How do you think other people feel in other parts of the world when that same uniform is coming at them? And that's, you know, that's wake up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the most important skills we as human beings need to develop, I think the most important skill is one that we don't spend much time developing, and that is putting yourself in the position of the other. I have applied this with great effect. When your mind is truly open and you're not, your judgment is not perverted by indoctrination and propaganda, and you can truly think for yourself, things become very simple. As an example, Hawaii, you know, Hawaii, I know a lot about the history of Hawaii. I lived there for many years. I produced a documentary called The United States of Hypocrisy. It talks about this history. And it's all based on a perspective that was possible for me because I put myself in the position of the Hawaiian people, who had a sovereign nation way back in 1843, I believe. And, you know, they had paradise. They had a place that epitomizes, you know, the Garden of Eden, you know, a beautiful place, and they lost nearly their entire population was made extinct. They lost 95% of their population, roughly 800,000 people, within 100 years of contact. They almost went extinct, literally. And their nation has subsequently been stolen by them and turned into a military outpost in which the Pacific Command is headquartered. Pacific Command, which considers almost half of the planet under its jurisdiction, which also houses the capacity to launch nuclear weapons against multiple targets around the world. That is what Hawaii is today. Now, for Americans who are indoctrinated, you think, oh, they benefit, all sorts of nonsense. But if you're a Hawaiian thinking from a Hawaiian perspective and you know that your nation was stolen, that you were nearly exterminated, and now you're a shadow of your former self with hardly any political power and resources at your disposal, you can imagine how you might feel. You can imagine.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult. If you're a Palestinian who lived in Palestine for centuries, your family lived in Palestine, who held deed title to land in Palestine, when these invaders came in at the behest of the powers that be in order to partake in this apocalyptic version of reality in which Israel, the Jewish state, is formed. If you're one of those Palestinians, my ex-wife, by the way, is Palestinian. Her father was born and raised in Palestine. He's one of the Palestinians who escaped. You know, young men at that time had a choice. You can stay and very likely die, or certainly not be enjoying life very much. There were many massacres of Palestinians who stood and fought and to try and save their villages, hundreds of villages that were literally wiped off the map. How ironic is that? And these Palestinians left, you know, in order to save their lives. And they have deed title to land in Palestine. Now, you can imagine, I'm sure the ranchers who have deed title to land, who see it being encroached on, how do you feel about that? Well, how do you think a Palestinian feels when they've lived on that land for centuries and these invaders come in and their land is apportioned to these invaders, which is exactly what the UN, the United Nations, and let's, I'm going to be in agreement with your audience there, fuck the UN. What an absolute disgraceful, disgusting body of you know, corruption that is. And the first
prophecy,
the very
first time. Have you noticed the Hegelian nature of what's going on right now with Nikki Haley in the UN? Because of all of us that are so opposed to the UN, well, then they take this hard stance and we, oh my God, I just see this happening. So many of my friends are saying, yeah, you go, Haley. Yeah, screw the UN. Yeah, I'm like, no, you got it. Oh, wow. It's just like I feel like smashing my face into a wall.
Folks, those are the Freedom Files with Ken O'Keefe. That's about as raw and truthful as you can get, two men discussing matters of the world. We'd appreciate your sponsorship here, resurrectorepublic.com. Click on that PayPal button. We very much appreciate your support. Moving forward, we new into this time spot now from nighttime to here and you know, middle of the day type of thing. It would really be a benefit to come back the way we'd like to. So we appreciate your support and support RBN for bringing you the news unfiltered, and unregulated, and uncontrolled. John Stadtmiller has made it possible for all of us to have this platform, and I'd like to thank John for that, too. So, folks, we will see you again soon with the Freedom Files with Ken O'Keefe. This is Tom Lacovara Stewart, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.